Hi, this is Anthea Williams. Welcome to the Sideshow Podcast, a show by and for artists with disability. Our first season was made under the title Activated Arts. We've uploaded every episode of the first season, and you can listen to them here at your leisure. Hi, this is Anthea Williams. Welcome to Activated Arts on 2RPH. A few years ago, I did a Churchill Fellowship. I was looking at how theatre companies develop artists and how they develop new work. I spent 3 months travelling around Canada, Britain and the US. When I was in Minneapolis, I was introduced to an amazing theatre there called Mixed Blood, and I was completely astounded by it. So this month, I wanted to look at how arts organisations create inclusion, and I could think of no better example than this company with their policy of radical hospitality. The history page of their website starts with the phrase, "Dedicated to removing any and every barrier we find." Today, I'm talking with Robert Lee and Reagan Linton. Rob tells me that before Mixed Blood, he had no theatre experience, but rather was an expert in marketing and research. But of course, every arts organisation needs that. Rob was instrumental in setting up the company's Disability Advisory Council and programs and tactics that followed. Reagan is an actor, writer, director, and theatre artist from Denver, Colorado. She is the artistic director of Family Theatre Company in Denver. This theatre company reimagines established works while exclusively casting actors with all nature of disabilities. She regularly works at Mixed Blood and has just had a weekend of tech rehearsals for Alice in Wonderland. Rob and Reagan, thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be here.
To start off, Reagan, can you tell us a little bit about Mixed Blood Theatre?
Sure. So I was introduced to Mixed Blood when I met Jack Ruler, the artistic director, actually about probably 10 years ago. I was currently in graduate school at University of California, San Diego, at their School of Theater, their Graduate School of Theater and Dance, as the first wheelchair user to ever go through that program. I'm a wheelchair user from a spinal cord injury that I sustained when I was 20 in college and am paralyzed permanently from my chest down. And after that, had kind of thought that I would never have access to theater anymore, partly because you just didn't, especially 20 years ago, you didn't see folks with disabilities on stage. You still don't a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But when I met Jack while I was in graduate school, you know, Mixed Blood had a history of doing work that was particularly focused on including populations of people, communities of people whose voices are not typically represented on the stage. And he had kind of recently at that point rededicated his efforts around disability, realizing there had been more of a focus around gender, there had been more of a focus around race, but disability was largely still being left off the table. So when we met, we started a very dear friendship and collaborative work relationship. And since then, I've kind of come to work at Mixed Blood. But from my perspective, I would just say Mixed Blood is a groundbreaking theater that is really on the cutting edge of what inclusion and diversity and accessibility truly means, and probably way ahead of a lot of the other theaters around the United States.
And how is that reflected in the work that they make?
It all comes down to representation, right? Who are the voices you're representing? Who are the bodies you're putting on stage? What are the perspectives that you're representing in the work? And I think Jack and the entire company have been very mindful of making sure that things are authentically represented, that they are diversely represented, and that it's stories that we need to hear, stories that are representative of the communities like that, which, you know, Rob can talk about more, but that surround Mixed Blood in Minneapolis that are very diverse, and you have all sorts of different perspectives. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of the time, what we get on stages, not just in the United States, but, you know, all over the place, are very predominantly white, non-disabled, cisgender, the typical norm that has dominated the theater for, you know, thousands of years, if you go back to ancient Greece. So I think Mixed Blood really has a focus on what are the necessary stories from the very diverse populations that exist today in our world, and how are we telling them and representing them authentically on the stage?
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for that. So Rob, can you tell us a little bit about what radical hospitality is and how Mixed Blood works with its local community?
Certainly. So Reagan really nailed it, though, if I could start up with that, in terms of what separates Mixed Blood, if you will. I mean, Jack Ruler founded this out of college because he was taken with the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King, which I think is, at the time, you know, 47 years ago, was a big deal for a white guy to do that in the Midwest. And so the theater was founded, as Reagan said, on really representing people in the theater who had not formally been represented enough. Your question was about radical hospitality. When I was hired on through a grant to help bring in persons with disabilities, creating work as well as in the audiences, we did some research first. And my background is sort of marketing and advertising. And so pulled some strings, old friends and stuff. We did focus groups, you know, behind the mirror, the one-way mirror. Mm. And we did some focus groups with persons with disabilities or were associated with organizations that supported persons with disabilities. And we found out a couple of things. We found out the number one thing that prevented people in our market from going to the theater was cost, whether it was cost of just to get into a theater, but also cost to get the, for example, a blind person or a person with limited vision to get seated up to the front. Well, that was really prohibitively expensive. So we learned a little bit about that. Another thing we heard was transportation, and not just, you know, the wheels to get them there, but also how to get from that cab, if you will, to into the theater and into their seats, too. So we really got a lot of information about those two things were loud and clear. And so you really have to hand it to Mixed Blood Theater. They found a way to eliminate costs for them to getting into the darn theater. And so that's how radical hospitality was founded. And I wish I could take credit for it, but I was just along for the ride.
Yeah, I was amazed when I met Jack when he told me that on any given night at Mixed Blood, 50% of the tickets are given to people as comps. And anyone who identifies as having a disability can contact the theatre company and they will organise transportation to get them to and from the theatre and have their needs met on the way. And I loved that Jack told me that he basically went to his board and said, I don't only want to make theatre for people who can afford to buy theatre tickets. So if I'm going to continue in doing this, we need to make the theatre tickets free for anyone who can't afford them. Now, Rob, I know that you set up the Disability Advisory Council. Can you give us a little bit of idea of how you set that up and why it was set up in the company?
Certainly. Yeah. It was clear from Jack's vision that there was going to concentrated effort was required in terms of why. And there was a grant available that I fell under shortly after my accident. I have an acquired disability as well from a motor vehicle accident. So soon after I got out of the hospital, I had my own consultancy and I was hired to do this. And so there was a 2-year plan put together for getting this up and running. We started off with research. And again, using traditional advertising marketing methods, we researched A, persons with disabilities, and B, persons with organizations that served them. We really got input about what was important to them, to these audiences. And our focus was really three things. The first is what goes up on the stage, who is represented, whether the script calls for a person with a disability or not. The second one is the audience experience. And that can be really shorthanded to accessibility, how to get in the theater and make sure that person's comfortable. The third is to attract a larger audience. And I got to tell you, in many ways, that third one is the most challenging, has been the most challenging. There is so much inertia in persons' minds. If you live with a disability and you really are having a hard time paying the bills for years and years and years, it's really hard to get across that, guess what? You can now come to the theater.
And can you tell me how the council advises the company?
Certainly. Give me some examples.
Yeah, great.
So this is kind of new to me, not being a theater person. Jack gathers scripts and run them by us and ask for our thoughts. What do we thought of, what we think of the script? Now, I have to tell you, for a non-theater person, whether you have a disability or not, to be asked your opinion on what you think of a script that's actually going to go on one of the better theaters in the Midwest of the United States, that's quite an honor. And so that was That was kind of cool. Another thing that was very important, to help to understand what are the physical barriers. What do they look like? Whether you are blind or hearing impaired or in a wheelchair or something else, no matter what your disability is, what are the intricacies of that disability? Mixed blood is in this 160-year-old former firehouse in the Midwest. That's really an old building and structure. It's actually had fire engines that were run by drawn horses in the past. Mm. So hard, not the easiest place to remodel, if you will, but there was a remodel. Now, during the remodel, the Disability Advisory Council was asked to take over plans, was asked to give opinions on certain parts of it. And we like to think that we provided a service that is enduring to this day at Mixed Blood, where there are now elevators to the upper level where the casts have their dressing rooms and other facilities, including restrooms. Those are just a couple of examples of what we would do. But the most challenging piece was to really reach. We all were tasked to reach out to various organizations, whether they represented persons with cerebral palsy or Foundation for the Blind, whoever that might look like, that we could reach out to those organizations and say, hey, come and see some theater here at Mixed Blood.
So it sounds to me like it was actually all-encompassing. So you looked at the building, you looked at how to get people in as audience members, but you also looked at how to get people with disability involved in all the decision-making, whether it was allowing them to be performers by getting them into the dressing rooms or whether it was allowing this counselor to be part of the decision-making process of the theatre company about what was going to go on the stage. That's remarkable.
I said Jack Ruhle is an interesting guy for many reasons, but one of the things he said to me, he said, Rob, the experience that you have as a theater goer is affected by who is sitting in seats all around you in the theater itself. And so the Disability Advisory Council, one third of our job was to make sure that we could get audience members into the theater and feel comfortable and feel good about it and ready to see live theater. And that is as important as who's writing the play, who's performing it, and who's directing as well.
I certainly love it when you get to see a work. So often, particularly in Australia where we have a lot of subscriber seasons, you might get a work that is diverse in some way, like it serves a particular community, but you'll get the same subscriber audience there. And then you might have a night where the theatre company has done a whole lot of access and you get people in the audience who look like people on the stage, and it's a completely different show, and it's usually a much, much better show. And you just think, yeah, your subscriber audiences are missing out, and theatre is not creating the kind of communication it needs to have when that happens. So I think that is so true. I just love the point that you've all made of it's not just about creating access, it's also about letting communities know that you've created access. Because if you have been excluded from a theatre for decades, you're not going to pick up the brochure to find out that now they do have audio description or they do have some kind of access that meets your needs, because you just assume that you're still going to be excluded from that building. You need to figure out how to invite the audience as well as accommodate them. Now, look, I just want our listeners to know that we're focusing on Mixed Blood and disability today, but actually Mixed Blood is inclusive with a great number of communities. There's a trans advisory council. They do a number of health projects in their local area. When I talk about radical hospitality, it's not just about disability. It's about making sure that this company actually reflects its local community and all that diversity, and everyone from that community feels welcome in the theatre company. And I think that's quite remarkable. So Reagan, as a theatre maker and as a theatre maker with a disability, what's it like to work in a company with this philosophy?
I mean, I think just building on what Rob was talking about, I think so much folks with disabilities who are really, like, if we break it down and we go way back in, you know, thousands of years into, like, how did this identity of disability even come about? It was because society was built in a certain way, and certain human beings had unique characteristics that didn't work in the cookie cutter monocultural norm. And so they kind of got pushed to the side, you know, whether that was something physical, whether it was something cognitive, whether it was something emotional. And so really, we're just talking about people who are unique in different ways, and making sure that they are represented and not cut out of the mold that has kind of been created as the dominant norm. So I think for me, you know, especially coming as somebody who was not born with a disability, I acquired my disability in a car accident and, you know, felt like I had some awareness of disability prior, but I mean, nothing like I have now, having lived it. I realized that people are all over the spectrum of awareness and understanding. But it's also, you know, the exclusion is baked into the system. And so if you're really talking about like starting to make a change, like Rob was talking about, it has to be at every level. It has to be looking at the building, you know, because I think a lot of people, when they think, oh, disability inclusion, it's often, oh, well, how am I going to get my grandmother who I need to push in my wheelchair in to see the show, right? Yeah. But you're not thinking about the actor who is deaf who needs monitors backstage so that they can view what's going on stage at the same time as the hearing actors can hear what's going on stage. You know, you're not thinking often about like quiet rooms or different spaces for neurodiverse or folks on the autism spectrum. You know, so it just, I think our understanding of disability has grown so much. I think as society, we know more what we need. But unfortunately, a lot of these structures, including a place like Mixed Blood, was not built originally to accommodate those things. So I think one of the things I love about Mixed Blood is, first of all, like being somebody who loves castles and historical buildings and things, that it's not like one of these bland new quote unquote accessible, you know, buildings that just has like, I don't know, you probably know the kind of architecture I'm talking about, which is great, but it just kind of lacks some character, right? And those are also spaces that often historically people with disabilities haven't been able to enjoy, you know, and so they just kind of, I think after a while, there's an assumption of like, oh, these spaces have never been open to me, which is why Rob also talked about, you know, the efforts that you have to do to go out to those communities, because the assumption on their part is going to be, I am not going to be welcome here, so I'm not even going to try. So, you know, those connections have to be rebuilt. And I think that's, so I guess in answer to your question, what I love about Mixed Blood is that they've taken all of these different approaches to this idea of inclusion and accessibility and truly being radical. I mean, it is not an easy financial model to say we're going to give away as many tickets as we are to folks to make sure that they have access to this artistic experience. But if you don't commit, if you don't say we're going to start somewhere, if you don't say, you know what, we're going to renovate this building, you know what, we're going to get the interpreters in here, you know what, we're going to find these actors. We don't know them yet. We know they're out there, but we've got to go out and build those connections. And there's been a lot of that. That is the true work of like shifting these systems and making things more accessible. It takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of energy. But that's the only way that really, I think, long-term, we're going to change the industry, the theater industry or the theater community and all, you know, entertainment communities in order to be truly accessible and not just tokenizing, not just bringing in a person to say, oh, it's in the script. We need someone. We'll put you in and then never cast you again or never hire you again. Or, you know, making sure that it really is about the true diversity of humanity as opposed to you are the exception. You are. Yeah. As a person with a disability, as a person with just uniqueness, you are the rule. And we're making sure we can accommodate every single human who wants to have this artistic experience.
That is so fantastic. And am I right in thinking that Mixed Blood does a regular disability-led season of plays?
That they did that for about 3 years, called Center of the Margins Festival. And that was really quite remarkable, I thought. I mean, they had one play that was called Gruesome Playground Injuries that was nothing to do with deaf people, but it was all the actors were deaf, or both, I should say, or three, or whatever. And, of course, Mixed Blood is blessed with super titles, large screens with everything, the entire dialogues presented to anybody who is in the audience. So that sort of was the nub of the commitment to making sure that plays about disability were focused for a couple of years anyway.
Yeah, and I'll just add that I think, you know, again, coming from the artist perspective, me as an actor and looking at theaters across the country where I can work, there are a lot of theaters who, you know, rightly so and necessarily so, have kind of incorporated race or gender into how they program each season, you know, making sure, yes, we need to represent female identified directors or playwrights, or we need to represent people of color across the board at every level of our organization. Again, disability is still often left out of those conversations. And I think Mixed Blood is one of the companies that has incorporated disability in to say, no, yes, and we also need to make sure that disability is one of those voices, one of those populations, communities that we are consistently, season after season, representing in our work, whether it be on stage, in the playwright selection, in the director selection. And I appreciate that because you don't find that elsewhere, except if it's a disability specific company. That's the only other place that you find disability incorporated regularly, I think.
I think that's what I found so inspiring about visiting Mixed Blood. So often you go to a company and there's a couple of communities that they are serving incredibly well, but other company, you know, but they can't, or they feel they can't serve all communities. Whereas Mixed Blood was doing such a remarkable job of serving every community that it could see. And when it wasn't serving that community, it went to that community to figure out how it could serve that community and what that community needed. It strikes me that it's now on the website talking about how it is a community organization that serves its community through theatre rather than a theatre that serves its community. And I think that's completely remarkable. And yet, the artwork is completely remarkable. If you look at the plays that Mixed Blood have been putting on, and also the plays that they've been devising, it's some of the most unique and cutting-edge theatre that you're going to come across. I'm right in thinking that, aren't I, Reagan?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, there's this idea among many people in the theatre and arts community that, like, inclusion and artistic rigor and creativity are mutually exclusive, right? They're like, oh, well, if you include disability, then you're going to have to sacrifice something, right? That it's going to become more of a service model as opposed to an artistic model, which is just not true. And I think once companies or artists start incorporating people, again, whether it's disability, race, gender, any number of different social identity qualifiers, you find, oh, it just makes the work better, more interesting. Yeah. It's really just about perspectives and different ideas. Again, being what I will call like an adaptive actor, right? I constantly am adapting based on the fact that I move through the world on wheels. And how does that change every single role that I come across? How does it make it more interesting? How does it make it more rich and textured in a way that you wouldn't assume this particular character is going to be represented? I think, you know, it just makes the work better, and it's not about sacrificing. So that's what I think, you know, Mixed Blood's work has maintained that artistic rigor and just gotten better because of the inclusion that Mixed Blood has committed to.
We're running close to the end of our time, and I was going to ask, what do you think that the lessons are that can be learned from a company like Mixed Blood? But I think you've both done a remarkable job of already answering that question. Reagan, I can't let you go without telling us a little bit about your company, Family Theatre Company. Can you tell our audience a little bit about them?
Absolutely. So Family, it originally was called the Physically Handicapped Amateur Musical Actors League, which is a total mouthful. Now, that was 1989 when the company was first founded by multiple artists with disabilities. Now the company just goes by Family with a PH at the beginning. And it is a disability affirmative theater company that, again, as you mentioned at the top, exclusively casts actors with disabilities of all different kinds. So that's physical, cognitive, intellectual, emotional. And it, truly, in the same way that Mixed Blood has done, Family obviously is a disability-specific company. So that is part of the mission to say, hey, we are representing these artists on stage and their stories. But really, it's just about representing the breadth of humanity. And Family does original work, but also it's bread and butter for many years was doing musicals, main stage musicals and plays that any other company would do. But it was, you know, using or utilizing, building on the lens of disability and all of these different unique actors, filling up the show that normally you wouldn't see cast. And so it shifts, you know, it shifts and reimagines work that are frankly pretty tired a lot of the time. A few years ago, we did Annie, you know, and a few of my friends were like, ugh, Annie, you're doing Annie. But through this new lens of artists who you don't typically get to engage with in a piece like that. It was brand new. So it's, you know, I think Family and Mixed Blood had very, even though they were several states away from each other, had very similar sensibilities over the last 30 to 40 years in existence. And yeah, it's a really extraordinary company. And currently we're doing a brand new adaptation of Alice in Wonderland that has a new soundtrack written by a local music group that's also disability led called Wheelchair Sports Camp. So that's what we're, you mentioned tech at the top, and that's what we're currently in tech for.
Fantastic.
Oh, bravo.
Yeah.
So I wish I could say it. I would love to be able to see that production.
Well, there's a streamed version that we'll play in September. So,
oh, fantastic.
On that.
Yeah, great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you both, Rob, Reagan. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for your interest. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
This is Anthea Williams and Activated Arts on 2RPH. Hannah Cormack, I've just had an awesome conversation with Mixed Blood. How are you this week?
I've had a great time tuning in to the first day of the Arts Activated conference, and I'm really excited to catch the rest of it on August 23rd, which is going to be featuring the keynote speaker, Suzanne Bull. And I also just want to let people know that even though they may have missed the first day of the conference, getting a ticket means you can access the recorded sessions, including the keynote from S.J. Norman, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I listened to that yesterday. I thought it was wonderful. So, Hannah, what are you seeing and not seeing this month?
This month, I managed to log on to a new exhibition that is online called 2021. And this is a 100% disability-led initiative. It's online exhibiting 22 artworks by 12 artists and their perspective on 2021. The curator, M. Sunflower, has works exhibited alongside pieces from Clover Palier, Jeremy Hawkes, Asphyxia, Robert Duffield, Jessica Pippin, Will Hazard, Ian Hazard, Wartburg, and Sigrid MacDonald. That's a hell of a lineup. And it's online right now at 2021exhibition.net.
Awesome. We had Asphyxia on one of our very first shows, and I read her book Future Girl last year. She's a remarkable artist and writer.
She has some amazing pieces in the exhibition about horizontal life, which is something that I relate to a lot, being a horizontal person myself, and they're just some beautiful pieces. So I really encourage people to go online and check it out.
Awesome. 2021, I will.
Now, what I don't get to see this month, and I really wish I could, is a new work, Stars in 3D, which is a virtual reality dance event and is the launch work of the new Chameleon Collective. And it also features artists from Sprung Integrated Dance Theatre, Singapore's DADC company, as well as cameo performances by Liz Lee, Dream Team, CD Tribe, and Extreme Stars. The Chameleon Collective is spearheaded by Liz Lee, who is the artistic director behind the Eye Dance Festival, and it's an ensemble that supports emerging disabled dancers move into professional practice. Stars in 3D is premiering at the Winter Festival and National Science Week at Canberra College in Canberra on August 21st and 22nd. There'll be 3D individual cardboard VR glasses for people to wear, which is a great hygiene provision in terms of COVID. And this event has Auslan interpretation and captioning.
That sounds like a remarkable artwork. I'm really disappointed that you can't experience it.
I hope that other people, though, get a chance to go out there and catch some of this remarkable new fusion of dance and technology.
Awesome. Hey, as always, brilliant chatting to you, Hannah, about what you're seeing and not seeing.
Thanks for having me.